storm raged fiercely all that night, but nothing of particular note happened. The next morning, however, when they came down for breakfast, they found the terrible stain of blood once again on the floor. Washington, the oldest son of the family, rapped out the stain a second time. But the second morning, it appeared again. The third morning, it also was there, through the door of the library had been locked up by Mr. Otis himself, and the key carried upstairs. The whole family were now quite interested in solving the mystery of the stain, and that morning they talked it through.
How is this possible? It surely can't be because of the detergent I've been using. I spent hours rubbing at that annoying stain. It really must be a ghost.
Perhaps I've been too dogmatic denying the existence of the Canterville ghost.
A real ghost? So what old Miss Amelie told us is true?
She's so old and decrepit herself that she probably experienced a murder firsthand.
Enough of that, boys. Have your breakfast now. Here are your favorite cookies. I think we should consider joining a psychical society to find out, darling.
At 11 o'clock, the family went to bed, and by 11:30, all lights were out.
Good night.
Nighty night.
Sleep tight.
That night, all doubts of the actual existence of phantoms were removed forever. Sometime after Mr. Otis was awakened by a curious noise in the corridor outside his room, it sounded like a clank of metal and distinct footsteps coming nearer every moment. Mr. Otis got up at once and struck a match. At that very moment, the grandfather clock struck 1 o'clock. Mr. Otis put on his slippers, took a small bottle out of the drawer, and opened the door. Right in front of him, he saw, in the pale moonlight, an old man of terrible appearance. His eyes were as red as burning coals. His long gray hair fell over his shoulders in greasy curls. He was wearing ancient, ragged clothes and heavy manacles and rusty chains at his wrists and ankles.
My dear sir,
Mr. Otis said,
I really must insist on your oiling those chains, sir, and have brought you for that purpose a small bottle of Tammany Rising Sun Lubricator. They say it works at once. I shall leave it here for you by the bedroom candles, and will be happy to supply you with more, should you require it. Good night.
With these words, the United States Minister laid the bottle down on a marble table, closed the door, and went to bed. For a moment, the Canterville ghost stood quite motionless in natural indignation, like frozen. He was too surprised to react. He thought to himself,
"What the hell is going on?"
When he finally came to his senses, he knocked the bottle violently onto the polished floor. He ran down the corridor in a rage, groaning and giving out the ghastly light.
Rawr!
Just, however, as the ghost reached the top of the staircase, a door was thrown open. Two little figures appeared, and a large pillow flew past his head.
What on earth is this? It's an ambush. I must vanish through the wall and take cover.
On reaching a small chamber in the left wing of the house, the ghost leaned up a moonbeam to recover his breath and began to try and understand what had just happened.
Never, ever, in a career of 300 years have I been so badly insulted and humiliated. Me, the great Sir Simon of Canterville, who has frightened the Duchess into a fit, who has made the wicked Lord Canterville eat his playing cards, who has given a proper fright and nervous disorders to countless people in the past. Any ghost would be jealous of my achievement and celebrated performances. People have even drowned or shot themselves thanks to me. And after all this glory, some wretched, modern, American Aphemis rising sun lubricator and throw pillows at my head. Outrageous!
And so he decided to take revenge.